Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul and Jordana, DJ, helping us out on the board today producing, and Representative Dean Phillips joining us from Washington, D.C. He had a front row seat at this morning's
fourth row. I mean, Dean, we have monitors up in the studio right now. I'm looking at Ambassador Sondland, and there you are, like right over his shoulder. I was like waving at you this morning on the TV.
Wow. Yeah,
those are the cheap seats.
How'd you score those seats, Representative?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, well, first of all, hello, Paul and Jordana.
Greetings.
You know, I'm, frankly, I wish more members of Congress have been sitting in on these hearings, because there are seats set aside for us, and you know, I've been one of the few that has been at most of them and trying to dedicate the time to look through the same lens that most Americans are, which hopefully is one of objectivity and I try to go, and I'm one of the few, so I got a good seat today, apparently, and heard a lot about it from a lot of people.
Representative, most Americans are fair at the end of the day, and I think most people respond to evidence, data, facts, and that there are no blue facts or red facts, that a fact is a fact. Is this gray in your mind, or is this black and white, the quid pro quo that Gordon Sondland confirmed today? I know there's still a lot of dispute. What do you think?
You know, Paul, it had been gray to many of us, but I do believe it is becoming more clear what has happened. And as you speak about facts, I think, let me start there, because the three of us grew up in an era where most of us got our news from one of the three networks, and then we debated not the facts, but the path forward from those facts. And but the sad truth is right now that we can't even agree on facts. And, you know, the reason for these hearings is to ascertain truth. But it does take two to tango, and I'm not as convinced as I wish I could be and should be that is the objective of everybody participating. With that said, it's analogous to opening up a puzzle and putting it on the table. You don't know where the borders are. You don't know how the pieces fit together. But over the last number of weeks, that frame is appearing more clear. The story that is being told by witness after witness after witness, many of them called by our Republican colleagues, and many of them appointees by this president, including Ambassador Sondland, who is a million-dollar donor to this president. Their stories are matching up. The narrative is one that is quite distressing, and the facts are unfortunately becoming clear in a way that I wish we didn't have to pursue, but it is our responsibility to do so.
We were just listening to the national news before your segment, and I believe one of the reporters said that the president felt that Ambassador Sondland's testimony today completely exonerated him. How is that even possible?
Yeah, Jordan, that to me is, it's an alternative universe with which I just simply can't relate. So I don't know how to respond to that. I sat through hours of that testimony today. I listened to Ambassador Sondland, who, again, is a million-dollar contributor to the Trump inauguration, was appointed by this president, confirmed by a Republican Senate. He said, as you all heard today, yes, there was a quid pro quo. He said, number two, everyone was in the loop, and that means Mulvaney, Pompeo, perhaps even Vice President Pence. And at the end of the day, the testimony indicated the great distinction between personal interest and national interest. And no matter what side of the political aisle listeners might be on as they listen to this right now, you know, that's at the root of what this whole issue is about, using $400 million of our tax dollars. Everybody listening right now contributes to that. In this case, it appears increasingly, based on testimony, that the president kept that money that is to be used by Ukraine to defend against Russia, which is one of our foremost adversaries in the world. He used it to serve a personal interest, which was to investigate Burisma / the Bidens and the 2016 election. That is not our national interest. It's not in our national policy. And those facts are becoming clear. If the president thinks that somehow exonerates him, Unfortunately, I believe that to be the foundational issue that our country faces right now, distinguishing clear fact.
Representative, I've found the witnesses to date to be credible and convincing. I'm just curious if off the record, privately, some of your colleagues on the right, Republicans, are they saying, you know, hey, throwing up their hands and saying, well, that this is just the way it is. Are any minds being changed on the right, on the GOP? And what comes next?
You know, Paul, I've made a point to befriend a number of my Republican colleagues. And the fact is, yes, I have had conversations with many who are finding the testimony very distressing. However, I think it's fair to say I'm a new member of Congress, as you know, but it's fair to say that this is an institution that always seems to place self-preservation over principle.
Okay.
And there are lots of ways we can address that, maybe perhaps for another conversation, term limits and ethics and so forth. But as it is right now, I'm afraid that party trumps principle, as does self-preservation. I do not think that anything we're hearing is going to change hearts or minds here in Congress. And if it doesn't change hearts and minds in Congress, I don't think it's going to change a whole lot in the country. But I do encourage people to watch and not just read the headlines or the watch the news clips, but to actually digest it on your own time, in your own way, and do so with objective eyes, because you know that is everybody's responsibility, not just members of Congress. But do I expect it to change a whole lot here in this body? No, and in no small part because there are not enough members of Congress actually watching the proceedings.
That's unfortunate and disheartening, by the way. We appreciate you going and listening. We're speaking with Representative Dean Phillips here from the 4th District. Dean, will he be impeached? Will there be a trial in the Senate? And if so, will he be removed?
Well, Jordana, I based on the evidence that's being presented, and we are supposed to wrap up these public hearings, I believe, this week, unless the courts make decisions that would afford opportunity to have depositions from John Bolton and Mr. Kupperman and Mr. McGahn. If that happens, we might extend the hearings a bit to accommodate that testimony. But you know, based on at least personally what I'm hearing, based on the consensus that I'm hearing from others, I would not doubt that the Judiciary Committee will take all of this evidence, debate it in that committee, and most likely submit articles of impeachment to be considered by the whole House. And I say that not as somebody who wants that. It saddens me, and I look at this with the solemnity that it deserves. It's a sad time for the country, but an important time for our Constitution, and that's our responsibility. And it's not a fun one, but it's something that we unfortunately have to consider. And I'll do so with very, very objective eyes. I'm one who did not come out in favor of impeachment. For the inquiry, I should say, until the whistleblower report very recently, because I thought more investigations were necessary before even reaching that stage. But now what I'm hearing, to turn a blind eye to it or ignore it or say it's irrelevant would be a disservice to our country.
Representative Phillips, let's switch gears here. You're hosting a free, open-to-the-public town hall meeting this upcoming Saturday.
Yes.
November 23rd at 2 o'clock at Hennepin Tech's Brooklyn Park campus, all invited to attend. Tell us, too, about something that I know is near and dear to your heart. You are really a leader on the legislation for the 100% Clean Economy Act, which is going to be introduced in the House tomorrow. What is that, and why should we care?
Well, Paul, this is something that comes from young people who I spend a lot of time with in high schools. Many come out here to Washington to share perspective with us. I'm the father of two daughters myself, Daniela and Pia, all of whom tell me that the most important issues to them are climate change and gun violence prevention. And even for young people who cannot yet vote, it is a responsibility of us in Congress to listen. And climate change is real. Talk to any farmer in Minnesota. They will tell you the same. Our habitat is changing. And to ignore something of such extraordinary consequence, again, would be a dereliction of duty. And I'm not worried about the future of the earth. I'm worried about the future of humankind. And to that end, I believe it's time that Congress... And I'm not worried about the future of the earth. I'm worried about the future of humankind. And to that end, I believe it's time that Congress at least take some steps to provide some incentives for our economy to migrate to clean energy. So tomorrow we'll be introducing the 100% Clean Economy Act, which provides a mandate by 2050 to be have economy-wide have net zero greenhouse gas emissions back to net zero. And also I favor carbon fee and dividend, which is a Republican notion of putting a price on carbon and returning all the proceeds to taxpayers.
Doesn't make government any bigger, right?
It doesn't make does not make government bigger. It returns the money right to taxpayers, but creates, you know, if we're human beings, we operate based on incentives, and particularly economic incentives. And we need to start creating some incentives and disincentives if we expect human behavior to change. And I think a thoughtful government doesn't always use mandates, uses incentives to do good. And if we care about our kids and grandkids and our future, we have got to do something rather than just watch.
Dean Phillips, the burning question today. Have you seen the Timberwolves' new jerseys, and do you like them?
MSP.
Yeah, you have.
I like those jerseys. I like changing it up every once in a while. I think we should go with some retro old Lakers jerseys too. That would make me really happy.
Okay, good.
Can I say one more thing before?
Please. Absolutely.
Before we end this? I always look for ways to connect all of us. And if you had a chance to watch Colonel Vindman yesterday, who testified in front of the Intelligence Committee, and I was there. At the very end of his testimony, he said something that really connects all of us, and he said, "Dad, don't worry, I will be fine for telling the truth." And I ask people of all political stripes just to reflect on that, because it's something that every one of us at some stage in our life is faced with, you know, when we have to tell truth, even in the face of great personal consequence. And it's fair to say that he is facing that right now. But rest assured to anybody listening, there are a lot of us here in Congress that have our best interests in mind as a country, recognize the consequences of non-truths and innuendo, and are on a mission to bring facts forward and let people make good decisions. And that's what I plan to do.
So.
Representative Dean Phillips, thank you for joining us today on CCO. And would you just like maybe tug on your right ear when you're on camera?
We're watching
just
you.
Send us a little signal that, hey, just a little shout out to CCO listeners. Would that be weird?
Not at all. In fact, you know, I'm kind of a centrist, so I'll tug on both ears.
Okay, well done. Well played.
You may be removed from the chamber, but you can do anything once. Dean Phillips, representative, thank you so much.
Thanks, you both. Dean. Have a good evening.
You too, sir.
He's
bye-bye.
Right. When Lieutenant Colonel Vindman said those words, I teared up.
It was powerful testimony. Yeah.
And I tell you, my husband always says this. He says, the truth is very powerful. And if you have the truth on your side, what else do you need? The truth is always the best way to go. Then you don't have to remember all your lies. Then you don't have to get people to cover for you. But if you have the truth on your side, you are on the right side of history.
Yeah.
And it's very powerful. And I was so glad yesterday to hear Lieutenant Colonel Vindman speak about the truth, because hopefully that is all what we are all after.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.